And I definitely have it on PowerPoint as well. But I always like to give you two passages of Scripture to turn to, or I like to do something in the Old Testament, something in the New Testament. So I want you to turn to Jeremiah chapter 29 and then also Matthew chapter 6. And if you're really good, you can turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you can hold three places at one time. And I'll tell you kind of how this message has been just really brewing in me for a while, and had a pastor that sent me a devotion that I subscribe to. His name is Kent Crockett, and I want to give him credit because he was the one that taught me this, and it's been just really resonating within me, and I've been studying it out for myself. And I just want you to pay attention, because the Word says in John chapter 10 that my sheep know me and they hear my voice, right? And every one of you in here, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a sheep, right? And you can hear God's voice for yourself. And just like you during the day, you have different tones to your voice. You don't speak in the same tone all day long, do you? And depending on who you're talking to as well, right? Jada has a tone for me. And it's she'll go, 1, 2, 3, look at me. And I'm like, I'm not Jarek. I'm not the grandson. I'm the husband. She's watching online this morning. So I was, hi, babe. I had to throw that one in there. She's staying safe and secure because she's going to be having to help Taya. By the way, we're having our granddaughter a week from tomorrow. She's coming into this world, baby Ava. So Jada's staying in kind of the quarantine mode and staying healthy and all that so she can help take care of Ava and Taya and Jade and Jarek, so, and me as well. So, but I was just talking about that tone of voice, and the same with the Lord. In Scripture, when you read the Word and you study Jesus' life in the Gospels, he has a different tone in different settings, right? Okay, same as we do. And so the reason why I'm saying this is, so just to preface this message with this, is whenever I was preparing this, I mean, God's always loving and gracious, but when I was preparing this, there was a very military type, like general voice that the Lord was using with me and letting me know that, hey, Mark, I'm in control and I'm sovereign and I'm working on your behalf and on everyone's behalf behind the scenes. You may not see it, you may not know it, you may not feel it, you may not even understand it, but by faith, you've got to realize that I'm in control and I'm working behind the scenes. And so the title of this message is God's Will, and I just wanted to say that up front so that I believe that the Holy Spirit is here. He's the teacher. I'm just his instrument, and I believe that you're going to hear that tone come out somewhere in this message, and I just want you to pay attention to it. And I get this question asked of me a lot in life and in ministry, I should say, is what, Pastor Mark, what is God's will for my life? Have you ever asked that question? I know I have too. I've asked it a lot. And I'm just going to start off with this out of Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, out of the NIV version. It says, the New International Version, it says, "For I know the plans," everybody say plans, "I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." And I just want you to realize there, God don't just have a plan. He has plans. They're plural, okay? So the word plans is this in Hebrew. It actually means purpose, destiny, invention, and design. So God's got plans for your life. Not just a plan. He's got plans, all right? This is all going somewhere. God doesn't have a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life, and he has a lot of plans to get you to your purpose. That's good. I'm going to read that again. I didn't get a good response out of that. God doesn't have a plan for your life. He has a purpose for your life, and he has a lot of plans to get you to your purpose. Amen. What does that mean to us? We can't screw it up. Amen. You can't. If you're in God, I mean, if you're a child of God, if you're a son or daughter of God, you can't screw it up as long as he's got your heart and your life. If you mess up plan A, guess what? He's got a plan B, C, and D to get you to where you need to go. And he can redirect and change the plan 1,000 times to meet his purpose. That's why I use the chess. It's like a chess game. You can't outmaneuver God. The enemy can't outmaneuver God. You can't outmaneuver God. God's got all kinds of plans. Now we're going to turn to Matthew chapter. I just want to get that out of the way real quick on this, what's God's will for my life. And so what I want you to do is I want to look to your neighbor in here and say, you can't mess it up. All right. Those that are watching online, I want you to post, I can't mess it up. Need to remind yourself of that. You can't mess it up. God is a good father. He's not a circus ring leader trying to get you to walk a tightrope through life. Amen. Because a lot of people are like, man, I've got to fulfill God's destiny for my life, God's will for my life. And they think it's just this little bitty tightrope, what I call the religious tightrope mentality. And I'm doing this. And man, if I stray this way or this way, God's going to get me and beat me up. And he's mad at me if I mess it up. You can't screw it up, guys. God's love covers a multitude of sins. God's love will keep you on the right path for your life. Amen? That's good news. So let God's love cover you in your decisions and plans when you're asking for God's will. Just let his love cover you. You know, God, here's the deal. If you make a bonehead decision in life, God can still get you to where you need to go. That's how good God is. You can't mess it up. All right, now we're going to switch gears for just a little bit, and we're going to go to Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 13. And this is the Lord's Prayer. And there's one verse that we're going to pick out of this passage of Scripture, and it's verse 10, and we'll get to that here in just a second. But I'm going to read verses 9 through 13. It says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Everybody say, your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Contrary to popular belief, not everything that happens is God's will. Okay? It's not. I don't want to point somebody out this morning, but Mary been praying for you. What happened to Mary the other day was not God's will at the bank. If you don't understand, the bank was robbed, and she was a part of that, and you need to be praying for her. And thank you for being here today, Mary. God's ministering healing to you right now, and I just, you've been heavy on my heart, and I just got you in the corner of my eye. Every time I look over, I see Mary. But that was not God's will. That was not God's will. So contrary to popular belief, not everything that happens in life is God's will. Otherwise, why does Jesus tell us to pray for God's will to be done on earth as it is in heaven? In Matthew 6:10. All right? Now, I want to teach all of us something. I'm still teaching myself this. And so here it is, the sermon in three. and it all starts with, I'll give you a little hint, they all start with P. That's a preacher thing. That means you got some good teaching coming your way, good preaching, if you can make it all. You guys need to lighten up a little bit. Everybody's just, all right, there's three aspects to God's will. Number one is God's perfect will. That's what we all want. That's all what we want on earth. That's what we want in our lives. But we're fallen, okay, right? That's why we need a Savior. We were all born into this Adamic nature. We need the Lord. We need to be saved. We need Jesus. Amen. But God can still work his perfect will in our lives, even in the midst of all that. And we live in a fallen world. And here's the deal about living in a fallen world. You're going to get a lot of curveballs thrown to you. But guess what? God's a great curveball hitter. He can hit them. All right. So here's God's perfect will. God's perfect will is what he desires to happen. When we obey what he calls us to do, we are fulfilling God's perfect will. Amen? Okay. Almost anyone, and I use this chess game, this chess background for my PowerPoint today, but almost, now I looked this up because I have never played chess, all right? So if you're a chess player, please tell me some things after service today. But I have never played chess, but I looked up some things about chess playing. It says almost anyone can be a good chess player if they try hard and put in the time. However, the difference between, and this is what I wanted to know, the difference between a good chess player and a great chess player seems to involve more than just practice. They have to have good general cognitive abilities, decision-making skills, and starting to practice early are all important factors. And when I read that, it reminded me of a verse, and it's Romans 12:2, and it's this verse right here. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say the renewing of your mind. You need to renew your mind according to the word of God. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. So to be a good chess player in life, you've got to renew your mind according to the word of God. All right. Instead of reacting to circumstances and situations that are happening, you need to learn how to respond, because your response determines your future. Amen. Okay, so that's how we walk in this. And some of this is very practical, guys. I'm trying to, you know, take the word of God and apply it to our lives, because all of us want to walk in God's will for our lives. And here's another way how we walk in God's will. This is something that you need to do with you personally, with your relationship with God. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. It says, rejoice always. That means praise and worship. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say to give thanks give thanks because of the circumstances that you're going through. Just in everything, you can find something to be thankful for. Amen? So to be thankful for that. And so here's how you're going to learn how to walk in God's will for your life. You're going to have to learn, and this is a learned behavior. We're not born with this. We have to learn how to cultivate thankfulness in our lives and to say it out loud to God and to, in our relationship with God. So I'm just going to give you some little deals that you can write down, how to cultivate thankfulness in your life. You know, give him thanks for your relationships that you have. Give him thanks for tangible provision, for finances. Give him thanks for the little things that make your day better. Physical health, recent breakthroughs, testimonies that you've had in the past, and even testimonies you've heard recently from other people. Natural beauty that's around you. Those are just some simple things, but you've got to cultivate that thankfulness in you. Something that Jade and I are doing, and Taya and Cameron are doing, is cultivating thankfulness in Jarek. He's just starting to start talking, right? And he like dee dee dee, that's his word, dee 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 dee, and he'll talk with his hand, dee 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 dee. That's how he talks right now. And you're just like, dude, he is talking up a storm. He reminds me of Luke, if Luke was in here when Luke was that age, just talking, just rambling all the time. But there's one word that we've started cultivating in him, and it's the word thanks. And so whenever he gets something, we'll say, Jarek, say thank you, and this is how he says it. He goes, dang. It's exactly how he said it. So Jade and I at home, and even Taya and Cameron at their home, when we say thank you to one another, we go, dang, like Jarek does. So, but you've got to I'm using that funny analogy for this. You've got to teach yourself to say thank you. You got to, because a lot of times we're just not thankful enough. We need to get more thankful. Cultivate thankfulness in your life. Keeps your heart open to God, and then God's able to navigate your life and get you on the right path. All right? All right, here's the second thing. There's three aspects to God's will. Number two is God's permissive will. God's permissive will. God's permissive will when God allows people to disobey what he wants. And he gives us, and this is where free will comes in, he gives us a free will, which means we can make decisions against his will. Okay? That's God's permissive will. And in Acts 14, verses 16 through 17, it says, in the past, God permitted or allowed all the nations to go their own ways, but he never left them, I love this verse, verse 17, but he never left them without evidence of himself and his goodness. God's permissive will may let you go down the wrong path, all right, but he's never going to leave you without evidence of himself and his goodness. That is so good. All right, now I'm going to go through some scripture here, and I'm not going to have them up on PowerPoint, of a story in scripture. Most of you know this if you've been around church any length of time, and I'll send you my notes as well if you ever want my notes. But God's permissive will went into effect when Israel chose Saul to be their king back in the Old Testament. It wasn't what God wanted, but he allowed them to do it. The people of Israel told the prophet Samuel to appoint them a king so they would be like the other nations. And God told Samuel, they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. God wanted to be their king, all right? And when Samuel presented Saul to Israel, he said, here is the king whom you have chosen. whom y'all elected to be king. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 13. And King Saul deliberately disobeyed God, so Samuel informed Saul that the Lord had rejected him as king. This is in 1 Samuel 15. I'm summarizing all this, paraphrasing it. And not long after this, Samuel anointed David as God's choice to be king, and that's in 1 Samuel 16. But it would be years before David actually took the throne. Some scholars say it was 17 years before he took the throne. Saul continued being Israel's king, even though God had rejected him. And on two occasions, Saul threw spears at David, trying to kill the future king of Israel. And unfortunately for David, he had to suffer the consequences of Israel's foolish choice of Saul, and he spent years running from Saul, who was continually trying to kill him. Even though God's permissive will was still in effect, God was able to lead David and protect him from Saul's attacks. That is so good. And keep in mind that God is still able to lead and protect his people even when an evil king like Saul is on the throne. That's God's permissive will in a nutshell. And so God allows things to happen because of free will. And that's why we've got to be plugged in to God, getting our wills lined up with God's will. Now here's the third thing. This is really where I want to spend the most time on today. There are three aspects to God's will. So we've talked about God's perfect will, God's permissive will, and now we're going to talk about something that we don't hear a lot of, but it's God's providential will. And God's providential will is this: when he overrules the permissive will. God's providential will means he can guide us, protect us, and provide for us in spite of the schemes of the enemy and evil people who attempt to destroy us. Amen? God's in control. God's sovereign. God's in control. This is what we have to remember about God's providential will. Ephesians 1:11 says this: in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. Okay, so here's another example of God's permissive will and then God's providential will. God's permissive will allowed Israel to choose Saul, what we just talked about in the permissive will, as king, who turned his wrath on David. And God's providential will protected David from Saul's attacks and eventually promised him to be king and promoted him to be king. Okay, here's another story from the Old Testament. God's permissive will allowed Joseph to be sold into slavery, falsely accused, and thrown into jail. And God's providential will overruled those actions, promoted him to be the ruler in Egypt, and saved Israel during a famine. Man, God's in control, isn't he? Can't mess him up. I love this scripture in Genesis 50:20, talking about this story about Joseph. It says, this is what Joseph told his brothers: but as for you, you meant evil against me, God's permissive will. But God meant it for good in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. God's providential will. God knows what he's doing. Amen. I don't know what all is going to happen. I'm just going to say it because I know it's on everybody's hearts. I don't know what all is going to happen this next week. And Wednesday we've got the inauguration and everything that's going on, all the political landscape that's going on right now. I don't know what's going to happen. I've heard all kinds of theories. I've heard all kinds of conspiracy theories. I've heard it all. I've heard everything underneath the sun. But here's what I do know. God is in control. All right? And I'm on his team. And I'm following him. Amen. All right, so what this verse tells us in Genesis 50:20 is that, and we'll get to Luke 6 here in just a second, that verse tells us that the big hand of God and the little hands of the enemy and people that he's using were both working at the same time. That's where that's like a chess game, all right, comes into play, that God is playing. God uses the enemy, his tactics, and the evil people as pawns in his hand to accomplish his purposes. Because God is in control. Amen. God gets the last word. God's big hand and the little hands of people and the enemy are both at work at the same time. Here's another one to show you the providential will of God in Luke chapter 6, verses 22 through 23. Blessed are you when men hate you and when they exclude you and revile you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. And that's God's permissive will because he's allowing evil people to do their things. Verse 23 says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. That's God's providential will. for in like manner their fathers did to the prophets. So when evil people seem to be winning, remember to keep a positive attitude, focus on God's big hand, trust him, and leap for joy. Amen. So what I said earlier when I got, and I try to stay away from politics because I never saw Jesus get into politics. He was bringing the kingdom of heaven is what he was, so that's what I'm concerned about. But I also know that what's going on in our world right now has left people thinking this. They say, well, God, whose side are you on? God, who, amen? Anybody ever thought that, asked that question? God, whose side are you on? So here's what I'm going to address this. Whose side are you on? Okay, you. I'm talking about you, me. And here's number one. Consider where your loyalties lie. Consider where your loyalties lie. We must be people that have loyalty to the kingdom of God. Amen? And that in the kingdom of God, listen to me, transcends denomination and party lines. If you have a religious or a political spirit, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss the providential will of God if you have that. Because God, whose side are you on? Here's a story out of the Old Testament. Joshua, when Joshua came up to the captain of the armies of God, which was Jesus in the Old Testament, Joshua asked him, whose side are you on? And basically the answer was, I didn't come to choose sides. I came to take over. I'm the captain. You follow me. And so that's where I believe that we're entering this time of this providential will where we've really got to listen to the voice of God and follow him no matter what's happening in the world, okay? And so consider where your loyalties lie. I want to say this is it's so funny how people try to put labels on each other, you know, even in the Christian world. You know, I have a friend of mine. She says, Mark, you kind of remind me of a Baptist pastor, you know, a Southern Baptist pastor. And I'm like, well, what about the Northern Baptist? You know, no, never mind, I'm sorry. And she goes, but then you're also Pentecostal, so I'm going to call you Baptocostal. And I was like, that's not even the word of God, you know. I'm a Christian. I'm a citizen from heaven. Amen? I mean, I'm sorry, but we use labels in the body of Christ just like political labels, Republican, Democrat. Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Methodist. I'm a Harvester. Don't ever say that. Amen. You're a Christian. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're a Christian. Amen. And we're all citizens of heaven. We're ambassadors sent here from heaven. And we're here to bring the presence of God. We're here to bring the kingdom of God, not a denomination or not a party. And everybody said, amen. All right, here's number two. Number two, whose side are you on? Number two is behave with nobility. And so what I want to tell all of us here today, every one of us here are kings and queens. You're either a king or a queen in God's kingdom. And so we need to behave with nobility. And I gave us a couple of scriptures to think about. James 1, verses 19. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's behaving with nobility. Another one is to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. That's Matthew 10, 16. All right? And so we need to know, we need to listen to the shepherd, which is Jesus, and hear his voice and what tone he's in. Because there's sometimes Jesus, it says slow to become angry, you know, but then there's sometimes Jesus has had enough. Remember the story where he went in and flipped over the tables in the temple? You know, I didn't see anybody wanting to challenge Jesus to a fight after that. It's like, man, this man means business. His house is a house of prayer, all right? So, but there's times we have, and that's why we have to be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. We need to behave with nobility because you're a king and queen in God's kingdom. Here's number three, get out of the way, okay? And that just means this, get out of what you think God, basically what you think God ought to do, all right? Get out of the way and you follow him. In sovereign moments of God, we need to put our heads down, listen, and learn to follow God's lead, even when we don't understand. You need to follow his voice. Look at somebody and say, follow his voice. All right, if you know me, here I'm going to get you three more points in this message. Every one of us in here that are walking with God, we're trying to navigate through life. There's going to be things happen. Life's not perfect by no means. because we live in a fallen world. And so we're going to have to remember, there's three things I want to give you today to help you to remember, just some life application things. And here's number one. We need to remember that what we see during trials is not the end of the story. You're going to have trials in life, but that's not the end of the story, okay, when you're in the middle of a trial. A good example of this is from the book of Esther. From all indications, it looked like evil Haman in the book of Esther had won and righteous Mordecai had lost, but God had another chess move. And you know what God said? King me. That providential will showed up. King me. All right, here's number two. As time passes, your faith is tested to see if you'll keep trusting. This is where I feel like a lot of us, even myself, I've seen it over my life as I was studying for this, is this is where we can kind of get off course because we start trying to do things in our own way, you know, try to be our own God. You know, we're still saved, but we're just trying to make those decisions and things of for our own. And the reason why this happens is because we are not good at waiting. We're not good at waiting on God. And so as time passes, your faith is tested to see if you'll keep trusting. Just think about this. When you get sold into slavery, you don't know how long it will take for God to vindicate you. Joseph had no idea. With Joseph, it took 22 years. With David, it took 17 years. And hopefully it's not going to take that long for you. Amen. Remember, I told you your response determines your future. But it's during that waiting period that your faith is being tested, and also it's during that waiting period that your faith is growing. And so that's what you've got to remember during that time, is you may need to wait. And here's what I've learned about God. God is not in a hurry, but he's always on time, and he knows what he's doing, so you got to trust. That's where that trust and having faith in him. And then here's number three. Remember, God has the last word. Everything is going to pass away, but the last thing that's going to stand is God's word. That's what the word of God says. God doesn't always have the first word in what happens because he gives us a free will, but he always has the last word. And Joseph's brothers had the first word, but God had the last word. And God always gets the last word in every situation. Okay, God is sovereign and he's in control. This is what I want to close with today. When Jesus was crucified, it looked like the devil had won and Jesus had lost. But God had another chess move, and he said, King me. Guys, God is in control. I just want to encourage you with that. No matter what happens this week, all right, because I've heard everything under the sun that could happen this week, no matter what happens, God is in control. And you need to remember who you belong to. You're a citizen of heaven. You're from the kingdom of God, and which is a kingdom that's not of this world. But it's also a kingdom that's over every other kingdom in this world. And everybody said, amen. Look at somebody and say, you're an ambassador from the kingdom of heaven. Now look at him and say, act like it. All right. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And I'm going to close like I always do, making sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. It's very simple. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The Apostle Paul told us in Romans 10 that all we have to do is confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, and then whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in a prayer. I call this the prayer of salvation. It's just a prayer of receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior if you've never done that. And even if you have, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And if that's the first time you've prayed that prayer, your next step of obedience is following the Lord in water baptism. Okay, I want everyone to stand up, and we can do that next Sunday. I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. Good to see everybody today. Did everybody learn something today about God's will? Good deal. If you want the, if you ever want the notes, just let me know and I can email them to you. All right, I'm going to bless you today. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Hug somebody's neck, fist bump, high five, and say, you're in God's will. Amen. Love you guys. Have a blessed day.